Natives of Moose County were a stubborn, independent breed descended from early pioneers, and it would take more than an editorial in the Moose County something to change their ways. Yet there was one prominent citizen who applauded the police chief's maxim. Jim Quillerin was not a native, but a transplant from down below, as the locals called the metropolitan cities to the south. Surprising circumstances had brought him to Pickaxe, population 3,000, and he was surprisingly content with small-town life. Quillerin was a tall, well-built, middle-aged man with a luxuriant pepper-and-salt mustache and hair graying at the temples. If asked, he would say that he perceived himself as a journalist, semi-retired, a former crime reporter and author of a book on urban crime, writer of a twice-weekly column for the local newspaper, devoted friend of Polly Duncan, head of the Pickaxe Public Library, protector and slave of two Siamese cats. All that would be true. He would not perceive himself, however, as the richest man in the Northeast Central United States, but that too would be true. An enormous inheritance, the Klingenshone fortune, had brought Quillerin to this remote region. Yet he was uncomfortable with money, its trappings as well as its responsibilities, and he immediately consigned his billions to philanthropic purposes. For several years, the Klingenshone Foundation had been managed by a Chicago think tank with little or no attention from James McIntosh Quillerin. It was not only this generous gesture that caused him to be esteemed in Moose County. Admirers cited his entertaining columns straight from the quill pen, his amiable disposition and sense of humor, and of course his magnificent mustache. Its drooping contours, together with his brooding eyes, gave him a look of melancholy that made people wonder about his past. Actually, there was more to that mustache than met the eye. On the morning of December 23rd, Quillerin was setting out to do his Christmas shopping, but first he had to hand in his copy at the newspaper office, 1,000 words on Santa Claus. Arch Riker, his lifelong friend and fellow journalist, had followed him to Pickaxe to be publisher of the new backwoods paper. A paunchy, ruddy-faced man with thinning hair, he sat in a high-backed executive chair and looked happy. "Mildred and I are expecting you and Polly to have Christmas dinner with us," he reminded Quillerin. "Turkey, I hope," Quillerin replied, thinking of leftovers for his housemates. The first Christmas gift he purchased was a bottle of scotch. He carried it in a brown bag under his folded jacket when he climbed the stairs to police headquarters. Quillerin found Andrew Brody, the chief of police, hunched over the computer that he earnestly hated. Brody was a tough cop, and yet he had learned to appreciate the newsman's tips and opinions that sometimes helped crack a case. On the job, he had old-fashioned ideas of law and order and a gruff manner to match. Off duty, he was a genial Scot who played the bagpipe and strutted in a kilt at civic functions. "I see you got your name in the paper again, Andy. Any suspects in the pilfering?" said Quillerin. The chief leaned back in his chair and folded his arms. "Could be punks from Chipmunk," the chief said. "We're investigating. It's all piddling stuff so far. No two incidents alike, and locations are scattered."
"I've been thinking it could be a game like a treasure hunt," Quillerin said. "If the thefts are scattered, someone's buying a lot of gas to drive around and swipe trivial items."
Brody threw up his hands. "The whole thing's crazy. My old grandmother in Scotland could tail a thief with scissors, a piece of string, and a witch's chant." Then he grinned. "Why don't you assign your smart cat to the case?"
The chief was the only person in the North who knew about the remarkable talents of Quillerin's male Siamese.
"Coco doesn't accept assignments," Quillerin said. "He conducts his own investigations. Last night, Andy, he jumped on my bookshelf and knocked down a Russian novel titled The Thief."
"Does he read Russian?"
"Mine is an English translation." The chief grunted ambiguously and changed the subject.
"I hear you and your smart cat aren't living in the barn this winter. How come?"
"With 4 stories of open space, it's impossible to heat evenly. So I bought a condo in Indian Village for the cold months. By the way, I had it furnished by your talented daughter." Standing up and presenting the brown paper bag, Quillerin said, "Here's a wee dram of Christmas cheer, Andy. See you after the holidays."